Mornings can start feeling the same. Wake up, brush teeth, go to work. But with breakfast from Wendy's, it's like, wake up, brush teeth, baconate with a breakfast baconator, roll with the sausage breakfast burrito, buddy it up with a honey buddy, or get seasoned with seasoned potatoes, and then go to work. Sorry. When you're ready for a fresh wake-up call, gotta be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours.
He's a tough kid.
All I gotta say is Portland can't say shit.
It's scintillating! It's sensational! It's Seattle Sounders FC Soccer!
Welcome to Sounders Scuttlebutt. I'm Aaron Lingley. As always, I am joined by your Alliance Council President, Guerrilla FC President, and the Communications Director for the Independent Supporters Council, Cameron Collins. And as always now, Nicholas Biella, Treasurer for the Alliance Council, and was just serenading me in guitar as we waited for Cameron.
Secretary of the Alliance Council, Treasurer
Secretary,
of the
Secretary, damn it. I thought I did so well. I thought you I got did it. So well.
I didn't think about it until I saw Cameron shaking his head no, and I realized, wait, what was wrong about that? And then I kind of picked up. Hello.
Yeah. Oh, my bad.
What is up, y'all? Onward. Shout out to Philadelphia Union 2 and the North Texas SC for making it to the MLS Next Pro Finals. Final takes place November 9th, this Saturday.
My birthday.
At 5:30 p.m. Philadelphia time. Oh, no, it's going to be in Texas, maybe? Texas time? Is that the team who the North Texas? Is that the team that Seattle lost to? Tacoma, I should say? I guess we're not neither now. We're just the Defiance.
I would have no idea.
I feel like Nick knows. He knows that stuff.
Where's Stacey? You know, honestly, I've been out of town all last week between Los Angeles.
Oh no, this was like Vegas. We lost. VCFC.
Yeah,
no, so,
well, Death Camp for Cutie. We lost to Ben Gibbard.
No, we beat them. We lost to the team that went on to make it to the final. So, we lost in the conference
semifinals. Never thought they'd get to such great heights.
They beat St. Louis in the conference finals, and then they're playing Philadelphia in the finals. So,
he's still Ben Gibbard.
So close. Ben Gibbard needs to go back to glasses. He's just looks like a random
Cameron,
white
great
dude
job.
Who's just such an idiot.
Cameron, that was a phenomenal job of like giving off some great information, and we were the two kids in the back of the class, and then you just seamlessly at the end of it just joined right into the conversation.
Oh yeah, I can go on as I open right. My liquid death.
It was really well.
It's like we were put together. What a liquid death. Okay, Nicholas, what are you drinking? Oh,
go with Rainier today.
Okay, that was a weak crack.
I bet you it sounds better on his side of the recording.
Yeah, well, I have big
I bet you I'll
on.
Finish
I'm
this
drinking.
One and open a second one later, so don't worry. I'll get another shot.
Oh, okay. Oh, I don't know if I'll take that bet. I'm going to have me some Voodoo Ranger Electric Thunderclap IPA. Thunderclap. It sounds like a fart to me.
That sounded good. Yeah. Sounded like thunder. Oh wait, we don't have the licensing rights for that. Okay,
you weren't on key enough for us to worry about.
The algorithms are not.
You're not. Yeah. You're not wrong. I think as long as it's under 30 seconds, right?
Yeah. All right. Well, it is my mom's birthday, November 6th, that we are recording, and that is the only date of significance we're going to talk about is my mom's birthday.
Happy birthday,
mom.
Hey, happy birthday.
Jeanne, what's her name?
Jonna.
I was close. I chose like the most logical name that someone would have heard of, because I've never heard of Jonna as a name before.
Yeah, I know. And our, well, she's married 7 years ago, but last name Lingley. So two names you like never hear. Because I guarantee you neither of you have ever met a Lingley before.
I feel like I might have. Maybe it was just another form.
Not in the close. U.S.
Yeah.
Langley.
Langley, that's probably it.
Yeah, but not Lingley.
Like MLS. Well, MLS meant FBI. I said the wrong things. Because CIA. As I was looking, I wanted to say, we have a bunch of MLS news since our last episode that we should probably hit before we get into too much other scuttlebutt.
We should also mention that the Sounders have advanced.
Oh yeah, sure. We'll talk about
it. So just in case
that.
We have new listeners, we do talk about the Sounders, hence our name.
But I think this is related. Houston Dynamo move on from Hector Herrera.
Oh, okay.
And announced they will not be re-signing him.
Good. I got it.
Yeah, so his final moment for a club that he helped rebuild was spitting at the referee and getting a red card.
Ugh.
That's wild.
You hate to see it.
As they decline his option. And we're going to see that a lot throughout the league. Would you like to see him come to the Sounders?
No. Too old.
No.
I mean, if we're going to... No. No.
Now things just got weird. I never really had like an emotional, not hatred, but dislike for Houston Dynamo. But it's like they really wanted to start something with us in these last two matches and in this round. So it seemed he annoyed me.
That's the beauty of the playoffs, though. The playoffs is when hatred starts to brew.
One of the reasons I've always hated Houston is because of the time their goalie like punched Freddie in the face and didn't get a red card. I think that may have been season one or two of the Sounders.
So maybe this is just the MLS, you know, making the universe right. You know,
it would have been the first season because we lost. We lost in aggregate 0-0 at home in that one, and that was
Tell you. Yeah. I can't remember.
Yeah, what?
I only know that because
it wasn't the home game; it was the road game where he got punched. Because I watched it on TV at FX McRory's. And then went over to the Seahawks game at halftime where the Seahawks were already playing. So I have no idea what year that was. Matt Hasselbeck was quarterback, though, so that might help.
It was definitely 2009 because we didn't play Houston again in the playoffs until we beat them 5-0 in the conference finals in like 2016 or something like that. 2016, 2017. Nice. Moving on. What else has happened?
Who else has moved on?
Columbus has not moved on as they lose to the New York Red Bulls in penalty kicks, eliminating one of Don Garber's favorites. And we have a chance to see other teams that might not move on as Vancouver wallops LAFC, and then they will play them, I think, this Friday night.
Correct.
See, I think, Saturday.
Miami. Yeah, Saturday Miami is Miami and Atlanta. Orlando
Atlanta
and Charlotte.
Won on the second game, 2-1. And Charlotte won the second game, pushing Orlando to a game 3. The second game was in Charlotte. So as a Sounders fan, we want the...
Don't forget Cincinnati, New York City FC.
Yeah, New York City FC won the second game at Yankee Stadium. I'm surprised they didn't fumble it away like the Yankees did. But this is one time where I'm rooting for the team in Yankee Stadium, because if we can eliminate the top four teams in the East, the Sounders, if they were to make it to the MLS Cup final. Oh, three teams? All right.
Yeah, we have more points than Orlando.
Oh.
So then, it's only right now, only Inter Miami and Cincinnati can host MLS Cup above us, and they can both get eliminated on Saturday.
Yeah. If that happens, we will host the MLS Cup final if we were to advance that far.
Yeah.
Okay.
That would be fantastic.
Things are getting clearer.
Now that commercial on the Western side of the conference, of course, I am not surprised by this at all. I talked about it before. Minnesota advances with the upset.
Yeah.
Their defense is just so solid. Their team is just completely rebuilt team. Plus, it's always nice to see RSL lose. So And that, did that game go to penalty kicks? I'm getting them all mishmash now.
So yeah, both games went to penalties.
So technically it was a tie, which means those teams tied every single game this year.
Well, those two results were the exact same as the Sounders. 0-0 in the first leg and then 1-1 in the second leg, and both went to penalties. And yeah. Minnesota won both.
Would you say they were the spitting image of each other?
Oh.
No, having watched the
game. Well, come on, Cameron. I see what you come on. There. Give me a laugh. You don't have to be a...
I laughed. Come on.
Snickety little bitch.
And then I saw a sensible chuckle.
Yeah, okay. I chuckled. And then, of course, Vancouver. The last game, we can't forget that LA swept Colorado 4-1. I don't think the score was indicative of what actually happened in that game. LA deserved a win, of course, but
yeah, nine I think goals it was to one.
2-1, and then Colorado basically went to two defenders in the back because they were like, we have to win this. And then they got hit on counterattacks. So
yeah, I mean, Ricky Bouge more... got two in stoppage time.
Yeah. So it was one of those ones where it's like you knew you had one chance to win, and if you gave up goals, it didn't matter because you have to try and win. So fascinating results where, man, I would just love to see the Sounders.
You mentioned Vancouver, right?
Oh, we did. Yeah, we did. We said they have a game three coming up on Friday.
Oh, that was the first thing we talked about.
Yeah, they won 3-0. So that's the news from around the MLS. I think they announce some of the
awards.
Awards. I saw that an article that's saying Miami forward did not get an award. So I'm not. I assume that means they announced some other award. Yeah. But I don't know that.
So New York Red Bulls, Lewis Morgan was named the comeback player of the year. So that happened. So Lewis Morgan, sorry. But the other piece of news that came out today that we did not talk about yet is, you know, the Fish is back as a head coach in MLS. Bruce Arena is going to be
the
coach. He looks like a fish. He looks like... one of those, yeah.
Is that a Nick thing or is that a real thing?
He really does look like a fish. I just always called him the Fish. But he returns as San Jose coach and GM.
Interesting.
Yeah, we knew that could be coming. It's.
Do you think the game has passed him by? Do you think he's?
It seems like it. I mean, it's not like he was great in
New England.
New England. It's not like he was great when he took over the USA again. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I feel like,
or even when he took back over with the Galaxy.
Yeah.
He seems like he's doing it more as a hobby now.
I mean, what else do you
like,
do?
He doesn't seem very like some of his comments. I can't think of it like specifically off the top of my head, but they seem very just kind of like whatever.
Well, some of his comments are the reason why he left New England in the first place.
Yeah, that's the thing is it seems weird to me that there's never been a reckoning of any sort discussing what happened there. And then I'm sure NDAs were signed, but you would think that someone would leak that news.
It was very under the rug, wasn't it?
Yeah. Let's also not forget that Jonathan Siegel, or no, that's the author, Gabriel Peck, won the LA Galaxy 4, was MLS Newcomer of the Year.
Yeah, I thought that was deserved.
I got a little game for you.
Okay.
For harkening back to the comeback player of the year winner. There have been, it looks like, 3 Seattle Sounders who have been comeback players of the year. Name them.
Eddie Johnson. Jordan Morris.
Mm-hmm.
When he came back from...
Back from his knee injury?
Yeah.
I'd say those 3. Oh, you didn't. I said Dempsey was my other one.
I don't think it was Dempsey.
When he came back from heart surgery, he didn't get it then.
What's your Nick?
Let me think about who that third one might be.
We're going to get sued for that. Do not. We will get sued for that.
Was I that good?
Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Let me think here. Who had those long injuries? Would have been did Mauro Rosales go under? No.
Yeah, let's just tell us. There's a reason to leave
listeners. Dempsey. Good guess.
It was
Clint is the answer.
Okay.
Yeah. Joe Paulo, because he didn't, he would have been, I think, but when he was hurt, he didn't, it took him a while to come back. You know what I mean? Yeah. He didn't come back right away.
I was overthinking it with Dempsey. I thought it was too late in his career.
No, he was still, I mean, he was good till the end. So was Eddie Johnson.
He was good till the end. Yeah, Eddie had the heart issue as well that had to,
yeah. So that's probably all the news we need from around the MLS. I'm sure there's more we can talk about, like the fact that I learned, you know how Salt Lake is called America First Field? I never knew that Rio Tinto, which was the name before, was a mining company that used to run illegal uranium mines in Namibia when it was being occupied illegally by apartheid South Africa. So maybe we should start getting better sponsors in this league.
Wow.
They also worked with Franco during the Spanish Civil War.
Veterans.
Great companies out there. What about Sounder Scuttlebutt? Anything come in before we get to the questions from our favorite people in the whole world, our listeners?
I'm looking. I didn't even say, actually, that we were recording tonight. That's my fault.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I think we know a few things.
I don't got nothing.
That we've heard. Brian Schmetzer did some press conferences and really spoke highly of our players stepping up, and they decide, like, they have an idea who's going to take the penalties, but they decided who's going to take the penalties. And we can get more into the order and all that later. But of course, the Sounders went 7-for-7 and finished 12-for-12 on penalties and penalty kicks over the two games. So nice. I thought that was pretty interesting. And then we also found out that by getting to this conference semifinal, that is the 12th time in 15 years, maybe 13th time in 15 years, whatever. There's two times we have not made it this far, which is wild to think
about. And one was we won Champions League.
Yeah, we didn't make the playoffs that year.
Oh, so we haven't made, including the year that we didn't even make the playoffs.
Yeah, that's probably what
there's only one other run in the playoffs.
Yeah, so there's two times when we were in the playoffs where we haven't made it this far. I think LA Galaxy knocked us out maybe 2010. I can't remember, one of those years. Remember, we thought Steve Zakuani scored and then he got called offsides.
Yeah.
But
well, it's nice that we have at least two MLS Cups, because I would like one now. It's been a while. It's been 5 years, and
it's time.
And I like this new team that we've seen. Like we are not losing. We are not losing matches. They're not very exciting.
We're not winning matches, though.
I know, they're not very exciting matches, but we're getting through. We're getting through, and we've won a cup in this very same style in a final once. But
hey, no opposing team can score on us.
Yeah, that's knock on wood. But I don't know if we talked about this last match, because I think it was after this one, but you can correct me if I'm wrong. After the match, Christian Roldan, who had a brace, of course, a goal for both teams, and had the penalty kick, said that this is the closest team he's ever been a part of. I wonder if that's the ups and downs they've been through throughout the season. I mean, I think even Raul, someone who maybe is having issues with, I'll say his
getting
ego.
Playing time. Getting playing time. Yeah,
I don't mean that negatively. If you're a player of that caliber, you have an ego. You need to have an ego to step up and continually play on an everyday basis.
Yeah.
But he's still helping the young players. You know, they're still working together. So,
and he's still smiling on the pitch. Like watching him at the end of the game, he's smiling and attitude. I think fans are reading into it more. It's stuff that we're just not going to be a part of if we're not a world-class athlete.
Right. These are things that happen when you are developing great games with world-class, great teams with world-class athletes. So we've seen the young players come up. They've been in the academy together, some of them since they were little kids practically.
Between Jackson Reagan and who did Jackson Reagan play on at 6 years old?
Paul Rothrock, our winger.
Oh, Rothrock. Okay, thank you.
Then they grew up on the academy teams watching Jordan and Christian and later Alex break through. So these are people that have been together.
There's Yedlin before them.
Yeah, one form or another, they've all come up together and looked up to each other or looked down to help. And it's kind of cool that we're seeing them persevere. I don't know. Christian even said, it makes you want to play for each other. And my perception has been in some of these games, especially when in the 66th minute, and we'll get more into that later, of course, that we get an extra player, that even though we have possession, we don't have urgency, but maybe they just believe in each other so much that they just keep doing what they're doing because they think it's going to be successful. What are your thoughts on that, you two? Go to Aaron.
Well,
first.
I think, yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead, Nick.
Okay. Well, I think you hit onto something right there when you mentioned that Christian said this was the closest team he's ever been part of, and you think about it. When you really think about it, what have we talked about? There's been this core has been together for so long because we really locked in these rosters making that Champions League run. So this team has gelled together longer than is kind of typical in this sport.
Including Oba.
Yeah.
Exactly. We've got,
I guess Tencio for some.
Danny Leyva signed when he was 15. So we got these players that have been together for so long through the academy, and then the players that didn't come from the academy have been here for so long. Steph Fry and even Yamar and Raul have been here for quite some time.
And Alex has been here longer than it seems, I feel like.
And even Christian was 2015 was when we drafted him.
And Alex was probably around because he was at Seattle U playing when Christian was drafted.
Christian was UW. Alex was Seattle U. Yeah, yeah.
I know my Sorry. Teams. I know my teams.
Hey, I work at both. but no. So I think that ties a lot into that closeness, and I do believe there's something to it that I hadn't really considered that perspective. So I think that's really cool. And what about you, Aaron?
And well, pretty much the same thing. And also Schmetzer has been their coach since we started this run of form. I mean, we've been in the playoffs every single year with Ziggy, but it was definitely what became its own era of Sounders, and we're still kind of riding that a little bit. But I mean, Schmetzer started it, and then you had Nico, and I feel like there's been a lot of like bridging of gaps versus complete severances.
Nico came in that summer and changed
it's Nico, like, Nico and Schmetzer kind of ignited
the
it
same
right
day. We literally turn off the
literally
radio
the same day
dancing. Yeah, we need yeah. to we need to get in here and put the work in. We're the worst team.
And I think that was 8 years ago, right? Yeah. So I feel like there's just been nice players who have been here a while, like Yamar comes in a couple years later, right? So there's a good transition.
It feels like yesterday.
Rusnak, this is his third season with us, and there's a good transition right there and a quality midfield, like upper tier, all-star.
You knew that. I knew that. Nick knew that. A lot of people didn't know that. They complained. Well, they didn't watch your video you made, obviously, about the Champions League final and how many times he touched the ball because holy cow. And that was always the case. But people expected goals when they weren't realizing that he was the quarterback.
Yeah. But we do lack, and Cameron, you've mentioned this a bunch of times, a striker, because Rui Diaz, we love him, and there's still some magic in him, but consistency is not his best attribute right now. And that might
he
be
gave
an
us
argument.
90 minutes.
Exactly. I mean, and I don't, there was, obviously, he probably had a few he could have scored, but there was nothing that felt egregious to me. Not like he should have scored. So I kind of felt like we're still figuring out how to play with him up top. And I don't know what happens for this next match. I'm guessing, and Schmetzer alluded to this, that it's enough time, being that it's not until right before
3 weeks.
Thanksgiving. Yeah. I think, is it the weekend before, or is it like Tuesday? It's got to be some weird day they always end up doing. I feel like. I think we won't know until we figure out who we play.
Friday. Yeah, we'll find out, but it won't be that. It's supposed to be that Saturday and Sunday at the end of the month, but the Seahawks play at home on that Sunday, the 28th. So my guess is it'll be Friday. My guess is it's going to be Friday, to be honest, but that's just my hunch.
It's going to go to Apple TV, though, right? Like, that it should have been Friday last time, and they moved it to Monday. So
yeah, well,
we'll see.
But that's only if we're playing Vancouver. If we're playing LA, it'll be in LA. So
in LA, yep, it won't be a big deal. So, let's not forget that Leo Chu traveled. So that's some interesting
stuff. I did see him.
Yeah,
and I was like, you know, it would be nice to go up 3-0 here and get him a run out there.
I don't know if he was in the 18, but he definitely. I didn't. I definitely
saw him on the field, and I think he was. Yeah. I didn't remember the lineup.
He was in the 18.
Wouldn't it be cool though if he kind of flashed again for just the playoffs and he had like him and Manugo on the field, Georgie?
I don't know. I think things would be going really wrong if we have both of them on the field at the same time. So that means something.
I guess I was thinking more. Okay, fine. I was just thinking like they're both fun players to watch when they're on their game, like. Regardless of what you think about Leo Chu, like when he was on, he was fun to watch. I mean, he had 4 assists in one match.
Hey, are we talking about this last game at this point, or
we got to get to our? Did we have any scuttlebutt coming throughout the week? I feel like we might have had a few things.
No, actually.
Oh, really? I mean, that's rare.
But kind of a busy week.
I mean, the actual chat, the channel for game reactions and talking while the match is going on, that's been going live, had some juice.
If you're in the Discord, join the Discord, get in there. There was a lot of discussion going on. It's great. I pop in there during the match and I'm talking to, especially road matches. I do a little bit at home, but it's easier on the road when you're just watching on TV. I know I watched the first half of the match on at Hellbent after Pub League, and then listened to most of the second half of the match on the radio. So I much preferred the radio call, and then but I had to drop in the grocery store. And this is the beauty of technology: pulled it up on Apple TV on my phone and was watching, actually checking out from the grocery store when Christian scored his goal, and I'm just like, yeah. In the middle of the grocery store.
You should just stop by my house after Hellbent. I'm not too far away from there.
That's true. But I had Caroline from Plop with me.
She's not from
Plop anymore. She's and you Plop weren't Plop there.
No, no. I got there. Home. I got home in time.
You got home.
I got home 5 minutes before the game started.
You were able to watch the whole thing at home.
Yeah.
And of course, Aaron, you watched it on your 77 inch
over the course of 8K like TV. 48 hours. Yeah. I watched like the first 60 minutes and then fell asleep. I was that tired.
And you know, then, what's really crazy.
What's that?
You.
Yes.
Like trying not to spoil it for you. You make it really hard for us sometimes.
You make it so hard.
Each other's number. You guys could just text each other.
No, but we want to share these moments with you, our friend. We want to talk to you and be like,
oh. I want to experience the moment like you guys did, except I don't want to be in the grocery store when it happens. I want to be drinking a beer, sitting on my couch.
I was in the grocery store when Christian scored that first goal, and it
grocery
was
store
drinking. He was drinking a beer too until they got the cops and arrested him.
Sure.
We want to share.
Yeah, we all experience our sports differently. That's fine. I'm almost always remotely. You guys are always at the matches, but sometimes Nick, you're in another fucking state watching some band, and I watch it over the course of 2 days, maybe three.
Yeah,
and stay in a bubble the entire time. No wonder I need someone else to do our social media.
There you go.
I'm just making sure y'all can still hear me because my video seems to have decided to turn off. Okay, good.
Yeah, we can hear you. Yep. That's fine. Gotcha. You don't look embarrassing. I remember you froze one time before and it was very oral. your frozen face was very oral. Nick's doing it right now. And I hope you're not frozen. Okay. that was impressive. I actually got that. All right, let's go. I want to open another beer. Let's talk about the match.
Yeah, so let's take a break. Is it break time, right? Before we talk
about it? Yeah, let's listen to just your voice for a little bit.
Okay.
Ooh. Bring it home.
Hey everybody, this is one of your hosts, Cameron Collins. Now, I know we said this time was time for a break, but really, it's a time for me to talk to you about our corporate overlords. And our corporate overlords are us. That's right, we would love it if you would head on over to patreon.com and look for Sounders Scuttlebutt Podcast. We will put the link here in the show. And subscribe. You can subscribe for as little as $1.74 a month. Now, what will that get you? Well, I'll guarantee you get at least one extra episode per month that'll be a cool interview or something like that that otherwise you would not hear. Now, we might put out promos or other things that include that, but the whole episode intact will only be available for you Patreons, at least initially. Now, there will be other stuff that we put in there, but this is where we're starting at. Why, you ask? Well, we have bills to pay, and we need to make sure that we can keep this show going. You would not believe the going rate for PA announcers. So head on over to Patreon, go to Sounders Scuttlebutt Podcast, and subscribe. You even get a cool little downloadable membership that has our logo on it. That's Sounders Scuttlebutt Podcast over at patreon.com, patreon.com. Now back to your regularly scheduled programming.
Beer. Kitten mittens.
It's called kitten mittens?
Yeah, okay, I'm drinking kitten mittens. I was gonna say, or should I have it as just the regular old
it's an always sunny IPA?
You gotta it's an always sunny reference. You gotta do kitten mittens.
Yeah. I don't think they actually know that they referenced that show.
They might not.
Yeah. Let's see let's see the label. That'll be the answer. Let's see the label.
From Kolshan Brewing.
But let's see the label.
No. So I would have known. I watched that show.
It's a Kolsch beer.
It's just a mountain. Just a mountain.
Okay. Is it a Kolsch beer then?
It's a winter ale.
No. Kolshan is the brewer.
Yeah, but I thought maybe they only make Kolsch beers then.
Wow. No.
No, it's K-U-L-S-H-A-N.
Oh.
Not German.
Not K-O-L-S.
Bavarian.
C-H or whatever.
Yeah. All right, let's now we're talking too much about the beer. Okay, and we're back. That's my like shock jock radio voice I tried a few times and
you should leave all that beer talk in. I think it's fascinating.
Okay, well I was gonna we've been recording this entire time.
Yeah.
Sure, we can do that. It's fascinating. I'm drinking kitten mittens. I'm gonna open it up now.
Oh, much better, much better.
I'm not a big dark ale kind of guy. I wouldn't last very long in the dark ages, probably. Isn't that pretty much mead and ale? So, okay, sometimes now that I'm saying stuff and your face is still frozen, Cameron, like it feels like, are you about to laugh at one of my jokes? But no, that's frozen in time. Anyway, it's good. I know it's a good beer. It's just not usually my flavor. So, but I like it by Kolshan Brewing. Kitten Mittens. Nick, are you still drinking your one Ronnie?
I am. I'm about 2/3 of the way done, so I will.
I'm gonna have two. I bet you'll have two of them.
I do.
Yeah. Once we get started talking about this match and how we can't score even on reprimand, that's when he's gonna start chugging these beers.
No, seriously. No. Again, I have no problem. Spoiler alert: Houston is a very good defensive team, and when you go down a man, dropping into that low box as a very good defensive team, I don't care what team in MLS you are, it's going to be really hard to score. So I'm not even that angry about our lack of scoring in this series.
Houston, I have no problem. You by the numbers though, I think you're right. They were the second best defensive team in the MLS, I believe, behind us.
Yeah.
If I'm not mistaken. I think Minnesota's probably definitely surpassed them. I don't know if they've surpassed us yet in terms of play, but it's not easy to score on them either, but it doesn't get any easier going forward because we may have to play LAFC or Vancouver. However, let's start at the beginning. What did you think of the lineup, you two?
Well, yeah, the U2 lineup is really interesting when Adam Clayton got injured and stopped, or Larry Mullen got injured and stopped drumming for them. But Bono's always there, just still doing his thing. And the Edge, you know, he's just going to always do that.
Can we get him? I saw them on the Pop Mart tour. I said U2, so instead of discussing you both answering the question, he discussed the lineup of the band U2 over the years. So we'll go to Aaron on this one. what did you think of the lineup? Because it was, of course, different. It had to be because of injuries, but we were missing two starters going into it. And
positions and Danny Musofsky as well.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't think much of it. Like, I wasn't worried about anything. Obed and João Paulo, JP, that they very comfortable together. Pedro de la Vega, I was actually excited to see him centrally a little
something
bit more.
Something where he played a lot, right? And then this is the first chance he's had.
Yeah, still found himself out wide a bunch. But I do like seeing him start there and have a little bit more of a free role instead of just being on the wings and cutting in when possible. I think that I want him to have the ball as much as possible is what I want, and get this almost like he got his penalty as his first goal, which seemed kind of cheap first goal, and then gets injured forever. And I really want to see him click, you know, and once he clicks, like you can almost see it. You can almost see it. His possession is incredible. He makes some great decisions, but he turns the ball over sometimes. But that does happen when he tries shit. I want it to click, and I think we're getting close. So
as the rain started falling, he didn't fall apart like he did at the home game, though, which to me was really
that's an observation.
Was impressive because he was rendered pretty much completely ineffectual at home.
Yeah, I just think it's a bummer that he was subbed off. I mean, he went 90 minutes, which is great.
Yeah.
But he was I'm okay. But he was subbed off when we had a 1-0 lead because when we thought we were not going to go to penalties that we were going to lock it down. And it sucks that he was so close. In the end, it's great because we converted all of our penalties. So that's fantastic. But in retrospect, it would have been nice to have him in our arsenal for penalties. Rui Diaz going the full game. He hasn't done that in a hot minute, so that was really encouraging.
And I think we both all agreed earlier, just kind of when we hinted at his performance, that we were like, okay, I'm happy to see him up there again if Jordan's injury. And honestly, I would happy to have a conversation about him over Jordan. Maybe if Jordan's healthy, maybe.
I'll disagree with
it's a conversation.
That, okay. And I could see the argument for it. I'm not there personally. Christian going up to the band of three when he's been sitting back for most of the second half of the season was nice to see him get a goal or two. One of them was nice to see. One of them not so nice to see. But yeah, I gotta say, you know what? I don't like the guy, but it was fun to watch Dorsey. Yeah. You know what? Like we talked about him in the first game where he was going. Yeah, no, but we talked about him in the first game where he was battling against Rothrock, and that was a really fascinating.
It was our two. Yeah.
But he was really interesting to see in that right back position. He did a lot of things really well, and he tried his damnedest to get his team into the game, although it felt almost a little cringe, almost like that kid in high school doing the Duke slamming his hands on the basketball court. Kind of felt like I was expecting him to do that at some point. But
I know he's cringe. I don't like him.
I mean, you saw though what he meant to that team and the crowd as he was hyping them up and bringing them back at the end. Like he knows his role, he plays it. I think it's because he is that very workmanlike player who battles constantly that they love him.
Yeah, so honestly, he's the kind of, he's got the Sounder mentality. Like, I could see a Sounders player doing something similar.
I'm not a fan of pumping up the crowd. Like, that's not. No, if the crowd's not in it,
a little over the top there, but
yeah, that you don't need.
But
how you pump up the crowd when you're an athlete. You go perform.
I mean, it worked though. It made it louder and louder, and then they scored a goal.
Is Houston known as their like the
don't the well, fortress? Well, that's the thing.
The places deafening like, crowd.
It used to be.
That's the thing. Places like Dorsey. That, though, he kind of has to.
It's kind of needed.
The crowd doesn't.
And that's what I was going to say. Don't get me wrong. I respect the effort. I just.
That's all I'm saying.
I mean, a decade ago, they were, they had a huge fan base, maybe even a little bit more than that. And then it fell apart because they fell apart, which, I don't mind being that they were stolen from San Jose, though they are my San Jose Earthquakes.
You sound like you do.
Mine too, but, when I lived out there. Same.
Yeah. My San Jose Clash. But it's, I don't know. I've never been in Houston. I've only driven around it, and I've heard people say it's good. I have a hard time believing it. I have a really hard time believing it.
I've been there a few times, but not to really. I have family that live in Galveston and in the burbs a little bit, so I haven't really experienced Houston, but I've been through it, so kind of probably similar to you.
Yeah,
but I'm not also attracted to it. Like Austin, I like Austin. I've been to Austin.
Oh, Austin's great.
San Antonio, I'd like to go to.
San Antonio's great too. I really enjoy. I went to. It was down by the Riverwalk. They have this like area where you can go, and it's like almost like a farmer's market on the weekends where they do have restaurants and stuff there. But then they have tons of booths set up with local businesses, and it was super cool. I like San Antonio, and they have a great. If you ever need to rent camera or video equipment, they have a really great one there too. And the Target has a great bathroom that I went to like six times.
Interesting.
I had to drive though. It was like,
so what I'm hearing is like, the food is questionable.
No. I was, we were staying out in northwest the
River
of San Antonio.
Riverwalk's Revenge.
We were filming a documentary. And so I had to keep driving in to get film equipment and return film equipment. And it's a long enough drive that every time I'd pull in and go pee at the Target.
Pull in and pull out. Hey.
How it's done.
So I gotta say though, with
Sounders,
this game,
we're walking. Yeah, the game.
Yeah, with this game, two things stood out to me. One, the Sounders are now 12 for 12 on penalties, and 11 of the 12 looked fantastic. I will say, on the other side of the coin, it's really nice to be going against Steve Clark, who hasn't made a save in his last 17 penalties.
It was interesting. We talked about that before all this started because Stephen Fry, up until, and Cameron, I'm surprised you even haven't mentioned it yet.
Yeah, well, I was waiting until we got two penalties because I didn't know if we were going, but you're right. I mean,
we're not in order.
Yeah, Stephen Fry, first off, saved a penalty and was off the line, as we always expect.
I thought of you immediately.
I was so livid.
Oh, me and Cameron were texting each other back and forth where we had to get off of our thread to not spoil it for you. But we were livid.
And I wasn't watching it. I pulled into my driveway, and since I had been listening but when we made the first one, I stayed in there because I didn't want to ruin the mojo and look it up while I'm listening to it. So I stayed listening on the radio. Yeah, of course he saved it. And I pulled up the replay while I'm listening, and he was good 6 inches off.
I was going to say 6 inches, yeah.
What bothered me is Schmetzer afterwards said, oh, that's something we can work on. That's something we can fix. It's easy. I'm like, if it's easy, why does he do it every single time?
For 15 years. Well,
two shots later, he also came off his line early. It was a goal, so it didn't matter, but he definitely came off two shots later.
I remember
later.
Seeing that too. I'm like, dude, get on the fucking line.
I know. And then a poor penalty kick where he was able to kick it away made it so he actually saved it. And then we all love Steph Fry, and he's the best goalie ever.
Hey, he is. I love Steph. We know this is his weak spot of his game. We know that. And that's just an
acceptable
part.
He is the greatest
goalie
in Sounders history.
Yes,
for sure.
I will say though, what was really fun was Raul messing with Steve Clark in his kick when you think I'm gonna Panenka it? I am just gonna blast it just past you, just wonderful. I love the mind games there. Definitely love that. And then Cameron and I were kind of texting back and forth where the second to last shooter for Houston is a teenager. And I'm like, oh yeah, look at this, a teenager. That can't be good. Crumble under pressure. He makes his shot, and then here comes Obed. I'm like, oh God, I just jinxed myself talking about teenager crumbling under pressure. And then the ball going through Steve Clark's fingers.
To Obed's credit, he kicked it hard enough that ball was not going to be saved. It hit his fingertips and rolled over the top. My issue, because I was not watching it live via video, I was listening to it, was that you heard the crowd react like it was a save because they thought it was saved. And so I thought it was a save until I didn't have the visual evidence to prove to me that it wasn't until a few seconds later when the announcers finally kicked in and said what happened.
Yeah, because it looked like it went in, or it looked like it was saved.
Ooh,
that was a good one.
I know.
Proud of you. More about the game.
How are we feeling about the left?
Hey.
Sorry, go
simmer down now. Simmer down now. Drink your beer.
We both talk
Georgie
at the same time.
Was on the left. What do you guys think about that? I don't recall him. He's just been exclusively on the right. Do you see any difference in his play? Or I made a note of it because I thought that was different.
I honestly didn't realize he was on the left because I was on the radio at that point.
I should have realized that after you just told us a story about being only on the radio.
Every time that he had the ball and they were calling it, I was picturing him running on the right side.
There you go.
So fascinating.
Yeah, he was on the left.
How did you think he looked then? I didn't realize
exactly that. Exactly the same. It's still dangerous, right? And I still like him there. But I do like
his vision's got to be different, though, right? Because he doesn't have his left eye, so he can see everything on that side. Then,
I mean, I don't think it's truly a problem for him. If he's gotten to this level, I don't think one side of the field is just eliminated from him. He's talented and he's earned his spot.
Right. But on the right side, he's got to turn his body a little bit to be able to see, because if he's facing forward, he can't see on the left side.
And we want curious to see like the metrics.
Well, I was just about to tell you about
like
that.
Tracking
actually.
Metrics. Oh, so, right. All right, professor.
So I mentioned this in our last game. I mentioned that Georgie coming off the bench and he led the team in chances created in limited minutes. In this game, he played 19 minutes and he led the team again in chances created.
Exactly the same.
Well, him and actually he tied with Alex Roldan. Both of them had two chances created. There were not a lot of chances created in this game, granted. And there is the sample size of him getting all of his time up a man. So context matters. But the fact remains that this is two games in a row where him coming off the bench, leading the team in chances created. That is exactly what you want out of an attacking sub off the bench, someone creating chances. And I feel like it's been a while since we've had that happen and have that consistently. So I love seeing it.
My next note was actually a Georgie plus Rui closer kind of substitution package, whether, you know, like, you know, I think the way he can cut in and put the ball in dangerous places, that is what Rui Diaz right now can excel at, is being a poacher and not so much
he's always been able to do that.
Yeah. But it's kind of like that's skill set can kind of stand the test of time for a little bit. So I think that would be a fun little package. Kind of sub in like in 20 minutes, you know?
I mean, the thing though about
completely
that
shakes
is,
up a back line.
Would you rather see Rui or would you rather see Musovski? Because when they're both healthy, because Musovski actually creates more chances than Rui does according to the optics.
That's true, but I'd be curious if you broke down those stats by the month, is that still when Danny's got minutes now, he seems a lot less effective than the beginning where he's creating chances and scoring goals like against San Jose and early on in the season when he seemed really effective. And it seemed like he was going to have a real impact on this team. And we've talked about it. I got to have dinner with Danny at our table, and he is one of the nicest people I've ever met. All I want him to do is succeed. But it seems hard at this point to think that he will. So I'm wondering, if we broke that down, what those numbers would look like.
I think for me, it's one of those things where if we are chasing a goal, I want to see Rui come in. If we are tied or protecting, I want to see Musovski, because he will add more defensive actions.
I agree with that.
And I think that's the thing is, and basically, since we went on this run, unfortunately coinciding with the time that we benched Rui Diaz, Musovski's only been getting garbage time minutes. So he's only getting 5 to 10 minutes maybe to protect the lead, that kind of stuff. So we're clearly not seeing those stats in the second half of the season as the first half. But he's also, compared to other forwards, for example, according to Opta, he's in the 98th percentile of defensive actions. So, that's an 81% of aerial duel. Yeah, 81% of aerial duels won, 98% for forwards in defensive actions. So he's doing what I would call the Nelson Valdez school of forward, doing all that hard work and not getting the results.
Interesting.
At least in my opinion.
Well, then he should play that role that you mentioned. If we need a goal, Nelson Valdez is not my sub who I'm subbing on, at least obviously in hindsight, but
in the playoffs, yes, but not in the regular season.
Yeah.
But no, I think that's the point that I'm getting at, is that for example, going back to compared to other forwards, Rui Diaz is in the 100th percentile of shot attempts. So he's clearly the guy that's going to take shots, and that's what you want when you're chasing a goal. But in defensive actions, he's in the 13th percentile versus Musovski being in the 98th. So that's exactly that's what the dichotomy is.
Those are
is.
Two great roles, and I like my little package with Georgie creating the most opportunities for the player that takes the most shots. Especially when we're trying to break down a defense. I mean, if you just create a little bit more havoc, they're going to be running around a little bit more, like throwing water on an anthill.
And Georgie's number 93, is that right?
Or no, that was Danny. We were like talking about Danny.
Oh, Danny. Oh, you aren't talking about Georgie. Yeah. Well, in this match, this most recent match, Georgie's number 93, correct? That's his number?
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah.
Like his jersey number.
Yeah, so he provided, he was the 0.1... added goals added in that game. In fact, everyone on he was, for someone who came on late as a sub, only Reed Baker Whiting was higher, and not much higher, maybe like a 0.001 higher. So they both had a pretty good impact as a sub. Danny Leyva was right there as well. Both Yamar had a negative 0.05. And João Paulo had a negative 0.2. So it was an interesting match. If you had told me the stat, I'm actually surprised that they had more shots than us in that game, because they ended up with 19 shots to our 14 with an XG of 1.36, whereas ours was only 0.92. So though they didn't actually score a goal, the numbers would have had them scoring more. They just weren't converting. And they had 8 shots on goal to our 1.
Yeah.
So that's so interesting, because in the first half, especially, I felt like their chances weren't that dangerous.
With a few come on.
And that might not have been.
Steph had great kick saves. He had two big saves.
Yeah, there was a couple on the ground.
But it didn't. To me, it felt like he was in line for those. You know, it wasn't like I'm comparing it to like the save, right? Where he had to do something like keep it towards him.
That's the save for a reason. It doesn't happen that often. A kick save is still difficult, but it's pretty common.
He had seven saves in the game. Fry had seven saves.
I mean, everyone except for one player had a positive G+ goals added for Houston. So,
yeah.
I mean, they definitely played a better game than us. Offensively, but that's not totally surprising too, because we didn't need to win, right? We needed to, they needed to win, and we needed to absorb and potentially, get one in, which we did. And if you look at the way the match broke down, the first 25 minutes, we were the better team. And then it mostly got away from us, or first 15, excuse me. And then it mostly got away from us, except for a short little stint around like the 32nd, 33rd minute. Second half, more even. End of the game, we dominated for the most part. But around on either side of halftime and that 15-minute to 30-minute mark, especially 15 to 30 is one where the Sounders have always struggled. It's tough to see us playing that. They really took control of the game in that. And that I think that is when they had that those two saves.
Yeah, that was they had two really good chances. I think you're right in that first half, right around the 35th and around the, I want to say, the 40th minute. They had some really good opportunities there.
How about Nuhu being a part of the offense and getting an assist on a great little sequence of plays?
Doing like, what the we hell used was to always that, do. Nuhu? We used to always pass it back to the trailing runner, who was usually Christian, coming from the right side, and he scored that goal. That was a quintessential Sounders goal under Schmetzer. That is what we've come to expect.
Nuhu did it.
Nuhu, I mean,
I'm kind of proud of him.
Think about this. One of the worst offensive defense players in the league in Nuhu.
Yeah.
And a goalie who can't save penalties in Fry.
Yeah, what a match.
Came through and proved that they can do it sometimes. It was phenomenal.
And I think I caught on the Apple TV broadcast, I thought I saw Nuhu mouth fuck you, Cameron. Right after he had that assist. I think I saw that. I'm not entirely sure. But
I saw that too, yeah.
It was all in hand gestures too, that he was flailing around and complaining.
He said it all with his elbows above his ears. Yeah.
He went full Macho Man. The point, the wiggle the hand and the ear, you know, right up to the ear.
What was that?
I mean, don't get me wrong. I have a Nuhu jersey. I've always loved Nuhu. I just get tired
you
just of
told
the
him
antics
to stop
and
fucking going forward. Is yes. What you said.
Yeah. I want him to do what he does best, which is come play on defense, because he's one of the best defenders in the league.
Hey, if he does, if he can do that, I mean, I want anyone to do that little sequence. That was a perfectly drawn up play. Like you said, that was a Sounders goal. That it was nice to see.
Yeah.
And especially from, I mean, the fact that if it's not another like three seasons that he gets another assist or whatever, at least the defensives are going to have to respect that.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Well, I was just going to remember the last assist he's had either.
It's been a while.
That's probably been more common, but obviously
it's still been a while, but yeah, I mean, I'm frustrated from our ability to not take advantage when we're up a man. We obviously did, and in this game, score that goal at that point, but it took a while. I think they're bunkering down at that point because they're like, oh, playing for penalties is better. But we've got to figure out a way to break down these teams. It's just not working.
I agree. Can we talk about how they went down a man? Like, I know we were cracking jokes about it, but was that a red card?
Oh yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah,
100%.
Yeah, he didn't spit on the ref, I don't think, but he spit like at the back of his feet. Like,
and
the laws of the game are clear.
Yeah.
I mean, when I noticed it happen, quote unquote, live, I know I'm not watching it live.
Yeah.
But they didn't make anything of it on TV until a few moments later. I feel like the color commentator like noticed it, but the play by play guy did not really. Yeah. And the other guy's like, he kind of spit at him there. You know, he made a comment like that. And then I was like, I had saw it right away. I'm like, that's pretty fucked up.
Because well, Obed.
In the other match, Obed came on and they threw tape at him. Were you going to mention that?
No, I was going to say Obed's the one who went to the ref and was like, hey, that guy just spat at you.
Well,
so
okay.
That's why it went to VAR. Daniel Radford, the red card wedding referee, was the VAR ref.
No shit.
Yeah. And he didn't call back to VAR the first time when they took down Obin. That should have been, I mean, I guess it wasn't a red because it's no longer a red to take someone down from behind. It has to be in a dangerous manner. And I don't know if they ever called a yellow on that because they never showed it on the screen. The announcer said it should be a yellow.
I guess I could look real quick, but that looked more awkward than, I mean, it was pretty bad. but it looked like it was like physically like, oh, there goes his back again.
Yeah. But his back is broken. So that was a different situation.
I mean, that my back's broken if I fall like that. Was it Arthur in the 79th? Because he got a yellow. Arthur.
What minute?
79th minute?
No, this was first half.
No yellows in the first half for either side.
So I don't know how you don't. I mean, you can't go to VAR to do for a yellow card, right? That's not something they do.
Correct.
I don't know how
Correct.
They don't give him just a yellow from watching what happened. He was right there.
The call. Just missed.
But
the
anyway,
call.
The spit. So that's his last. Yeah, his but last sure image act. On that team. Yeah. I guess it's bad. Yeah, I guess it's bad. At first, I was like, "Yeah."
You have your two top players on your team in back-to-back games having a mental breakdown and committing stupid red cards. Stupid red cards. It's not even. It's understandable that they both get red cards for actions on the field of play. Both of them were dead ball situations. Yeah, these are both dead ball situations where you have to be the team leader. This was the CONCACAF player of the year in game one that got the red card. And then Hector Herrera, former captain of the Mexican national team, and captain of your team, getting a red card. Unbelievable.
In the playoffs,
and it makes me wonder if there's something going on in that locker room or what. I don't know. Not my problem. Not oh well.
Yeah. Anyway, and I have a note here, just save Dorsey's, please. Must have been from the penalty kicks. That's just me not liking that. and so how did that handball happen? I have an actual like vague. All I remember just seeing is like his reaction to it, and I don't know why I didn't rewind it. Probably because I'm always watch really late.
What are you talking about?
The handball.
Yeah, I don't remind me about it. I don't recall a handball. That's how I mean.
Did I say handball? The own goal.
You said handball.
Oh, the own goal.
Oh,
yeah,
there we go.
My ball. My bad. Okay. My bad. See, groggy, so seconds, sleepy dad watching Sounders.
It happened because there was not good communication on the team, and they should have gone to the corner and wasted time, and they didn't, and they gave the ball away.
Well, yeah, the second part of that happens is we score the goal. We got that momentum. We got that excitement. Then Houston pressures. They send the house. And basically, two of our players just outside the box both kind of conversed on the ball at the same time. And it was like a miscommunication of who was going to take it. And then the pressure came in and they just tried to clear it, screwed up, went straight to Houston, and they countered. It was just a comedy of errors.
So it was a public goal.
Yes.
Public goal.
That's basically.
I think I literally actually was getting up to get a beer, and because I do watch them so late, I don't like to rewind really anymore. So I came in to like, oh, we just scored, finished, chugged my beer, went to the kitchen, got another beer, and I came back and I just remember seeing his reaction. And they showed replays, but I was just like, what the fuck? Anyway, thank you.
Yeah. And so it's just disappointing because it was just like, it was just don't get cute. And we got cute and we just. Yep.
And it's not, I don't blame Christian. He's running back. It hits him. You know, if he doesn't touch the ball, it gets kicked in by the defender.
It's just kind of cruel. It's just kind of cruel that it happened to him.
I think it's also why he stepped up to take the first penalty was because of what happened. He was taking ownership of the moment.
If that's true. Yeah.
Yeah. It seemed, he didn't say as much, but it seemed like it from. The way he was talking about.
Well, who is our first PK taker in the previous match?
It was
Raul with the Panenka.
Yeah, and then he waited for the fifth this time.
Interesting. Yeah, so maybe that did happen. Either way,
Jack Reagan with two really good penalties.
It was going to go not so. Yeah, I was going to kind of mention him because I'm just not concerned about PKs with this team right now. All of them.
Like, I'm always concerned about PKs.
I mean, I don't want. I like watching PKs when it's another other teams, and I don't I don't like the anxiety, but it's, I mean, it's exciting. You got,
yeah. I mean, here's the thing.
They are exciting.
80% of penalties go in.
I like them.
So if the offensive player can just put away their nerves and go, look, I mean, at this level, I would say pub league, maybe it's like 5% go in, but, well, in classic, it's less than that. But okay. I was giving the negative 10%, including the 20% for y'all. The 80% go in. So if you can just get a decent strike, you know it's in all likelihood going to go in. But they psych themselves out so often. So you look at the way the Sounders players are going about their business. It's all mental, right? And then it becomes muscle memory. If you can control the mental, it's all muscle memory.
It's literally, yeah. I mean, they are pretty good at kicking a soccer ball. They wouldn't be at this level. But when you think about it, it is a team sport, and usually you're on the pitch with your teammates and the opposition at the same time. So whether you're in front of your home crowd or you're, you know, a hostile crowd, you're kind of doing this with other players, and that's what you're used to. PKs are pretty rare in your career, considering all your other minutes.
Yeah, depending on who you are.
But to stand there on the spot by yourself, even with all that talent, like, that's why it's so mental, is like everyone's looking at you. And I don't like that feeling, thinking about it. But I have no problems playing in front of people with a team. So
sure. I think
that that's kind of, I guess, why I find them intriguing. And I know there's people that just really hate PKs and how that can determine the outcome of a match.
Oh yeah, it would mess me up.
Freak way sometimes.
Oh no, I love PKs. I hate taking them. It would mess me up. But I think for most of those players, they don't even hear. I mean, I think the same for the goalies. They're not hearing the crowd. It doesn't matter which end you shoot it on, where the crowd's behind you. You're going up and you're shooting it, and you're in your own world.
I think that's true 80% of the time.
Yeah, the best penalties.
I think there's 20% of people that hear the crowd and see the crowd and feel the crowd.
Sure, but those are the players that should not be taking that penalty in the first place, and then either coaching or that player messed up.
Either way.
Or the Robert Baggio.
Our team's got some... I don't know who that is.
He missed the penalty in World Cup 1994 Italy to make Brazil the winners.
Yeah, like, Scott Baio, what? I've got all my notes taken care of. What are some okay, I got a question for you both. Cameron, you start. Actually, no, Nick, you start. I don't know why I get to direct right now.
Whoever's asking the question directs.
Yeah, okay, there we go. What is one concern and one positive from this match? Because we don't really know who we're playing next. And we maybe half the people listening to this might have already known that, because in a couple days that's determined. But Saturday, in terms of just us, what we can control, and we pretty much are a team that likes to play our own style. What's positive and what's negative from that match, and do you hope carries over and hope doesn't carry over?
Well, the positive for me is defense. Defensively, we handled our business. We bend but don't break. Got a shutout. A late own goal when a team is basically playing for their lives and has to throw everything in the kitchen sink at us. I don't care if they're down a man. When you have to go all out, that's just tough to absorb, period.
That's why you get in the box in the first place, is because you know crazy things can happen.
Exactly. So defensively, I think, is a very positive thing. Offensively, where I have some concerns is we're just not creating those chances. How much of that is because Houston's a really good defensive team? How much of that is that we're struggling? I don't know. If I look at the second half of the season, I think, okay, we're going to be okay. If I look at the last two games in an island, I get a little nervous. Cameron, what about you?
I mean, I'd say it's more like the last six games where we've not been effective offensively. But, with the exception of the one at Vancouver, but that was because we were behind the goal and they wanted to impress us. But yeah, I mean, I think I'm going to go the opposite. I'm going to say a positive was offense. We got the goal finally. And if that can carry over and they can play the way we did, the goal, that's the sad part, the goal. Mm-hmm. If they can play the way they did moving forward, then we can win the game. I've said in both these games, we're going to need two goals to win. Now, we didn't in the first game, but we didn't score any. So it didn't really matter. Like, I can't, because we always have the ability to give up a goal on a mistake, I think we need to be two goals clear. I think the old adage of two goals being the most dangerous score in the game is not true for the Sounders. Because if I can see a team scoring a goal on us on a fluke, but two, I have a hard time seeing this defensive team making two grievous errors. It would have to take a brilliant play by a defender. And then it's not an error. It's like something you couldn't have stopped, like some of those Bwongo goals.
Yeah.
But so I'm gonna give a positive for the offense, not overall, but just because they got that goal, and maybe that's what they needed to break the hump. And if they can carry that over to the next match, if it's against Vancouver, I think that's a positive thing. If it's against LAFC, I think you go back into focusing on the defense. My negative, though, is that they took too long to score it. You know, we've got to figure out how to absorb on defense, like we've been doing, and then turn that around so that we can score on offense. And we're trying. You see us try to make breakaways. They just don't develop into anything. So whatever we're missing, and it could be because, the last three games, I think our midfield's different. They're not in the same position. Same players for the most part, with a few exceptions. I think we need to figure out how to score earlier and score often. But
everyone wants to figure that out.
Yeah, but I am happy that we finally got a goal, and I would like to see us be able – I mean, because we're not beating LAFC 4-0. We could beat them 2-0 or 1-0 or 2-1.
Yeah, I see a better – us stopping them from scoring is probably more probable than us scoring 4 on LAFC.
Yeah, and that's something we know we can do because Schmetzer figured it out. And he figured it out not that after the fourth loss or before the fourth loss. He figured it out after the second loss, and then the Sounders didn't execute in that third game. And he was pissed. And in the fourth game, they did execute, and then it came down to a referee decision, and they didn't give us the penalty on the other side they should have. So when Christian got crunched. So I don't want to play LAFC again. I'm not as worried about them because we've figured them out. Not how to beat them, but how to neutralize them. Then it's up to our talent to figure out how to beat them. And this goal.
But it is the playoffs.
Yeah.
We might not even play them.
We may not. So. I mean, it's going to be interesting to see what Vancouver does.
No, that's kind of what I'm getting at. It is the playoffs. So anything can happen. Two, there are no easy outs anymore.
Yeah. But I know there's teams that are afraid of us. LA Galaxy are afraid of us, and they're afraid of Houston because of our defense. LA Galaxy feel like they can't score on us the way they can score on other teams. You know, LAFC is not afraid of us, but they're afraid of Houston. So we did them a favor in that regard. They may be afraid of Vancouver at this point. Who knows? Everyone should be afraid of Minnesota right now, if I'm being honest.
I mean, honestly, Saturday is going to be fun. Just sitting around watching some soccer is going to be a good day.
And I'm really looking forward to the Minnesota-Seattle Western Conference Final repeat from 2020. It's going to be fun.
When you ask the question, are you allowed to answer it?
Yeah.
As well?
Yes.
What do you think? Go for it.
I was like, that's interesting, fellas, but I have something I want to say.
Do it.
Well, what I was excited about was actually, you know what? I don't know if I was too excited, but I did find an eerily similar, like, it's funny how all the Seattle teams have something in common between the Sounders, the Seahawks, the Mariners. Like, man, our defense our pitching is good. We can't score.
Do not put Gino in the same category.
Or I wasn't even going there. That was talking about the Mariners. And then for the Seahawks, I'm like, man, if we just didn't make these dumb mistakes, we'd probably be winning this match.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And sometimes, you know, our defense is that good. We don't, unless we're playing LAFC. Like, it seems like it's more, we're in control of this match we should win all of them, and we want them to win by more than just a goal, or in this case recently, first match, no goals, right? So, yeah. Anyway, but what I do think is encouraging is that, yeah, we did score, but the play was, it developed into a goal. It wasn't a set piece. It wasn't a trash goal. It was a decisive goal that started from, you know, the defensive side, our side of the field, and moved forward. And once we become, I mean, our team is already said that they're that close. This is the, Christian said this is the closest he's ever felt with his teammates. Then once we start unlocking and reacting to weaknesses on the field together and having those type of plays and having them earlier in the match, like you wanted, Cameron, I feel like there's, this is going to be an unstoppable team. And I like that a lot of this roster can carry over if we, especially if we win the MLS Cup. Right. But the, what I'm starting to see now is a little more encouraging than they're clearly still trying to figure things out. This seemed like they, that okay, that worked, and now you just, and that was a great defensive team. Now if you have a team that fractures defensively more often in a match than Houston does, you might see a second goal before halftime with that kind of decisive movement that cuts through, one touch passing like that. Our team looks like they can do it, and with the defense, I'm super excited. Mine also is don't score so late, but so if they start doing that earlier, we don't know who we're going to play. That it's going to be fantastic. I don't think we have four goals in us right now, so
I mean, if it's
see LAFC, but
we had three goals last time we played at Vancouver. So of course there was a red card in that match, but if it, and one was a penalty too. But if there is if there's a goal and it's the winner, I don't care when they score as long as we win. But yes, earlier, please.
Right on. Any final thoughts, gentlemen?
You know, I don't have a thought.
Who would you rather play?
Oh.
I don't want to. We shouldn't do that because then half the show, it's the end of the show. But in like 2 days, everyone's going to know. And then this, if we don't record in 3 days, both of them, I don't care who it is.
Yeah, I don't think, because LAFC, I mean, LAFC is LAFC and Vancouver's hot. I mean, obviously Vancouver's figured it out. And realistically, we know
one team's hot and one team's hot for us.
Yeah.
comes down to, do you want a home game or not?
That's a good point.
To me, that really doesn't matter. Personally, I mean, Vancouver's going to be there probably.
Well, but it matters for how the team plays.
I know, I'm selfish.
The Sounders turned, but they spent a year where they were the worst team at home. From middle of last season to middle of this season.
Again, similar to another football team.
Yeah, but changed that at the end of the season and started making it a place that was hard to win in again. So we definitely would love to see a home game, but
I agree with that. I'd rather it be at home, of course.
I guess I would like to see us play well no matter who we play, and I hope that game drains. I hope that third game drains both teams, and I'd never root for an injury, but if they were to happen, you know.
Root for red cards.
Yeah, lots of red cards. Good, good, good. So non-Sounders, I just want to say this is not necessarily a political statement because I'm not endorsing either party or whatever, but I do want to give a shout out to Bob Ferguson for becoming the next governor. Bob, before he was in he was involved in politics, but he wasn't a politician, was instrumental in me becoming a precinct committee officer. And then later became my representative because someone died. So he got put into that seat before he was attorney general. So I've gotten got to know Bob a tiny bit, not well at all, but over the years. And he's followed me on Twitter this whole time. So even though he follows like 700 people,
how about it?
I'm one of them. So shout out to Bob. He's put in a lot of hard work to get where he is. And I can tell you, regardless of whatever your politics are, he is a thoughtful and good person.
I also have a one degree of separation, or one degree of Kevin Bacon, whichever flavor you like of that phrase.
Mm-hmm.
My class president, Greg Nance, was elected at this for House of Rep for Kitsap. Cool. Yeah,
right. Oh, cool.
Also a nice guy. He, I mean, I haven't seen him also for years, but you know, he was a fun guy in high school.
Hey, we need nice guys in politics,
especially in
nice people in general.
Especially in Olympia, having spent some time going undercover for Western states to rallies by white nationalists, and seeing politicians from Olympia come speak at them, the more friendly, nice people we have in Olympia who want to make our state better. Good.
You want to make the show better, listeners, then you need to go tell your friend to listen to the show.
Yeah. And rate us.
And rate us.
Yeah. Wherever you listen to us, rate. Because here's the thing is they use those algorithms as you give us more ratings to push us up the standings in the podcast standings, you know, and we would like to win the Shield of podcasts, so make it happen.
The Shield of podcasts. Yeah. I just want best intro music of any podcast. Right, that's a pretty good intro.
And I'm except for
so I haven't changed it for 3 years.
Yeah, well, that's and it's good enough that if you recall, Apple TV or was it Fox? One of them stole it for a promo for the Colorado Rapids.
Also, NBA. Well, they're like Jersey commercial, like
uses it?
NBA store commercial. They use that too. It was Greta Van Fleet for a while, but then they used that song.
It's wild that the, was
exclusively composed for us.
That we have some impact that way. You know, that's the thing is you hear good stuff, you keep going.
Yeah, I pay for that license annually.
Hey, in the end, let's look on the bright side. We moved on to the next round. We were one step closer. There we go.
That is the bright side of life. Also, join our Patreon. Cameron's working on an interview soon, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've got two I want to do waiting for approval, which takes longer at this time of year. But hopefully we are playing in the next month, so it won't be we'll figure out something else if I don't get Sounders approval by then. Because in the off season, it'll be real easy because they won't be busy.
Yeah, so let's hope the Sounders do poorly so that our Patreon does better, right?
I don't think that's how that works. That's not how that works.
Okay.
No.
Okay. Well, we'll join it anyway. What is up there, actually, and we kind of mentioned, I think you said her name, Cameron, but we were talking about Defiance, mm-hmm. and I thought, man, it would be really cool if we like brought Susie on again.
Stacy,
my bad. That was pretty bad. I'm sorry, Stacy. But no, I listened to it again when I uploaded it though, and I was just like, man, this is like it. I don't think about Defiance that often, and I don't really have a large bandwidth, but like it was refreshing to just kind of hear both the community around Defiance and people that go down there.
Yeah.
But also just like that is the future of our club potentially. We've seen it happen. The Academy does produce and they join the first team and they make impact. So it is a fun place to kind of see the seedlings. Right. So it was a good interview. So I'm glad she was on the show.
And we'll do more stuff like that. That isn't, you know, we'll do stuff with other opposing teams, fans and or podcasters and or, you know, maybe even players or coaches type stuff as we can, as things get bigger. But yeah, I mean, it's under $2. It'll help us out so much because it gives us a chance to cover our costs. And then you'll get, I mean, we're saying it'll be at least one extra episode a month, but it could be more. We could go on an interviewing spree and put several up. And if we get enough of you, then we can make it so they're early and you just get them first and then everyone can enjoy. We'll put up previews and stuff like that. But definitely some of the stuff we've got lined up. I'm excited to see what y'all think.
Oh, yeah. Where can they find you, Nick?
You can find me on Twitter at Nikita Banana or on Instagram at Cascades2C.
And that's Nikita like Chiquita, not like Nikita the femme fatale.
Correct. Nikuita. Nikita Banana. And I'm sure you're going to put that in the link as you often do. So make it easy for everyone.
Copy paste.
Aaron, where can they find you?
Copy paste at AARONLANGLEY on X.
And I am, of course, available at Legal Minded Punk on all of your internet spaces, except for there's an open world game called New World Aeternum that I was given for free by a friend who works in the video game industry. Mm. That I think they just expanded to console play, and so that's why I got a pass. You can find me at Grindle-Prime on there. Grindle being the DJ name I've used since 1999.
I thought you were about to say Second Life.
Oh, I don't think they could do
Second Life on Xbox.
Well,
that would be messy.
But we'll talk offline about my Second Life. I have connections there in that world.
Oh, this could be an exclusive episode in the making.
Yep. Well, let's have James take it away and then hit stop and then hit record again and we'll get it all on.
Take it away, James.
You can follow the Sounders Scuttlebutt podcast on Twitter at @SSFCScuttlebutt. And for all inquiries, including questions for the gents or sponsorship opportunities, please email contact@scuttlebuttproductions.com. Be sure to subscribe to the show for new episodes following every Sounders FC match. And don't forget to share your feedback by rating and reviewing. And you can follow me on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at BritVoxus. That's BritVoxUS. We'll see you at Lumen, and go Sounders.
Alexa, who's the best MLS team of all time?
The Seattle Sounders are both unequivocally and irrefutably the best MLS team of all time.